Okay, cool. So, okay, let's do this. Let's do this. I don't know why I'm nervous this week. Okay, cool. Starting in five,
I mean, you got
four.
this.
Yo, what's up, everyone? Welcome to episode two of Beyond the Courts. Unfortunately, this week you guys are stuck with just me and Suku. We'll have another guest in studio or on the call with us soon. And yeah, man, we've got an exciting topic, an exciting conversation for this week's episode, and we're just gonna jump right into it. What's going on, Suku? What's happening, boy?
It's good, bro. How you doing, man?
Easy, dog. I'm easy. Like before we started today, we were actually having a little conversation about, The Last Dance. And you told me that, before we jump into this week's topic, you were just mentioning that tomorrow is Kobe talking about his relationship with Michael Jordan.
Yeah, the next episode apparently it is Kobe, so it's gonna be rough.
It's going to be
Like I'm
chesty.
looking forward to it, but I'm like, oof, dog, it's too soon, man.
I mean, now that you've given me a heads up, I think I might need to have like a young glass of whiskey sitting next to me, so I'm actually ready for what's about to go on.
But I think what's gonna make it dope is that it's gonna be like two people that literally are almost the same player and talking about each other, which is gonna be quite dope.
100%, 100%.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Last Dance, I mean, you obviously watched last week's episode, right?
It was dope. It was
Yeah.
dope. I mean,
What did
look, the
you
first two, I
think,
think.
especially the dialogue and the conversation around Dennis Rodman?
I thought it was quite insightful. I mean, the whole series has been insightful, but the last two episodes were cool because they kind of got into Dennis Rodman, who's I
Yeah.
think people know him more for his antics than his play.
Yeah.
But it was good. But like what I like about the series is that like post the series, you get to find out more about the player from interviews and just people talking about him. So like you see that Rodman was just like he was like everyone talked about Jordan and Pippen, but Rodman did like a whole lot for that team, especially while Pippen was still kind of boycotting the team, whatever. So yeah, I thought that was dope. Obviously, his Vegas escapade was crazy. But yeah, no, it was just a super insightful episode. Like, it's cool to see Dennis. Plus, I think like we forget, like in '97, '96, how big Rodman actually was. I mean, he was in a movie with Jean-Claude Van Damme back in the day, that
Yeah.
double team, whatever that movie was called. But
Double
yeah,
big,
he's
double
like,
team, whatever it
but it's crazy.
is. I mean, I think we were actually talking about it. I can't remember if it was the same topic of discussion that we had in the last episode that we had. But what I really love about the documentary is how it basically shines a light on different members of the team. And I mean, I think the nice thing about Dennis Rodman, because of his eccentric personality and his outgoing nature, people already knew who Dennis Rodman was. But I don't think people understood who Dennis Rodman was from a basketball point of view. Like, I don't think people knew who Dennis Rodman the player was. Like, for me, for instance, like obviously, like you said, Michael Jordan and Scottie were the two big stars of that Bulls team. But when someone like Michael Jordan recognizes the importance of, the difference of the focus Dennis Rodman makes to the team, to the point where he went to Las Vegas to be like, yo, you need to get
Like to go fetch him, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I mean, that's how you know that, as a player, you have like a major impact on the team.
No, for sure, for sure. Like, I think, I mean, even the way he spoke about it is like, he was like, Dennis, I need you right now.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna be my guy. And that he, and I think what was also great is that most of his coaches were just like, Dennis, go be Dennis, bro. And I think that's quite important when you have like a player like that. Like you have to understand your players,
Yeah.
which was also quite key, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, another beautiful thing for me was when Scottie was out and Michael Jordan was like, yo, like again, like to win games, I can't do it alone. Like I need Dennis to show up every night. I need Dennis to be focused every night. And if I'm on top of my game and Dennis is on top of my game, we're gonna basically beat most of the teams. And then another great thing was, just watching the, and I mean, I think it's also quite a cool, interesting thing about Phil Jackson's managing style, was the fact that, Phil Jackson was able to be like, okay, cool. Dennis Rodman came to me and he's like, coach, I can't do this. I need a in the middle of the season, dude. I need a
I need a bender.
I need to go let loose for a while. And if you let me do that, I'll come back. And like, I mean, imagine you're in the middle of a pitch, dude, and you say to your bosses, like, yo, dude, yeah, I need to take a break. I'll be back. Give me 2 days. You know what?
Exactly. And it's not even taking leave. It's like, that's like telling your boss, look, I'm going to go to fucking XO Lounge. I'm just going to be there for like the next 2 days. phone on airplane mode.
I'm going to get wild out. I'm going to mess up the strippers, and then I'll be back and I'll be ready to deliver.
But like, I think also something which a lot of folks didn't even touch on like quite that bit was the relationship between Rodman and Pippen, because of who Rodman was in Detroit.
Yeah.
And how when Pippen came back, how Rodman kind of felt a bit like left out again, because again, it became the Jordan and Pippen show.
100%.
Like I thought that was quite interesting. That was quite interesting.
Yeah. Before we carry on, we almost forgot something very important.
I see you guys ready.
Episode tradition. Cheers. Cheers, homie. Episode 2.
Cheers, my dog. Thank
As you can see, I'm keeping it strictly local today. It's interesting that you mentioned that thing, right? Because for me, with Dennis Rodman, there were two interesting things with his dynamics within the Bulls team and the dynamics with him and Scottie Pippen. They always got the limelight. They always got the praise, even though it was mostly always Michael. And secondly, like some of the crazy stats that, you know, you found out about Dennis Rodman, like the praise that he got as probably the best defensive player of all time. It makes you kind of think, right, to something that I probably think could be something interesting to discuss in today's episode, is basically you find players in the NBA who do all the dirty work and don't get any of the recognition. And then you also get unsung heroes, like players who step up in a specific time and make a difference to whether or not the team is successful.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you touched on it. Like, his stats, he would play and have like 0 points but 28 rebounds, and the guy he's defending will be like a no-show. I mean, he was key. Yeah, like, he did that for the Pistons team, and he did that for the Bulls team. 100%. So, like, that was, yeah, so I think that was quite dope. And I think, like, to what you said, like, a lot of championship teams, they all need that guy who's like a blue-collar kind of player, like the guy who just gets in and, like, does it. And what's interesting is that it's almost like it's a style of play that Detroit's come to own, because they did it with their Bad Boys, and they did it in 2004 when they upset the Lakers.
Yeah.
Just basically using a hard-nosed player. I mean, like, if you ask somebody to name name the starting five from the Detroit Pistons team, they're not going to be able to do it. But everyone knows the Lakers because it's Showtime, and, like, the Bulls, they can kind of name most of them. But when it comes to that Pistons, it's just like none of them are really as celebrated. But that was a hard-nosed team. Like, you couldn't deny them.
Yeah. I mean, I think you've actually, like, you know, hit the nail on the head. It's basically, you know, unless you're a proper avid basketball fan, which is fine if you're not. But if you look at that Bulls team, you probably know Scotty, you probably know Michael, you know Dennis. And maybe on the Pistons team, you know Isaiah Thomas. And then if you know the Lakers team, you know Kobe, you know Shaq, you know all the other guys who are part of the team. And then maybe, again, you know Chauncey Billups only. And Chauncey Billups is probably like few people probably know who Chauncey Billups is. And he's still underrated, I think, in my personal opinion, and in the league today and even back then. So the thing, right, is there's players who are, I don't know if it's because of their personalities, because a player who actually reminds me a lot of Dennis Rodman, because of the role that he plays in the team, he's probably more active in terms of, like, you know, the overall attacking, you know, approach of the team, Draymond Green. But Draymond is also just as, you know, outspoken, maybe not as crazy in terms of the way he dresses and the way he, you know, he hooks up his hairstyles. But in terms of, like, the role that he plays in the team, like, Draymond Green does a lot of the dirty work in the Warriors team.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Draymond, he's the walking triple-double for them. Like, he'd always do the, like, he'd get, like, 10 points, 12 assists, and, like, 13 rebounds. Like, that's his usual stat. And I think what everyone forgets is that he's almost like, he's like the way Golden State plays, he's almost like their point forward. Like Steph Curry brings the ball up the court, but then it goes to Draymond, and then that allows Steph and Klay to just kind of run off the ball. So I think it's like, and that's what these guys do. Like a lot of them, like the stuff doesn't show up on the stat sheet, but like it's those guys that kind of kick things off for them. So like, yeah, I think like Draymond does that a lot. Because I mean, you'll often see he'll have more assists than Steph on a night.
100%. And I think what's quite interesting about Draymond is, you know, even when back when KD was on the team, like, I mean, I think for, you know, just like in other sports, like soccer or football, for instance, you know, it's always the offensive players who get most of the credit, like your Messi's and your Ronaldo's. Even in basketball, it's pretty much the same, right? Like, if it wasn't for Kawhi's, like, shooting, like, he wouldn't be known, you know, as well known as he is now, because he's more known as a defensive player. And then you've got other players, because what's nice about players like Draymond is Draymond basically sets the tone defensively for the Warriors, you know. So if he's got his game unlocked, then the rest of the team has the game unlocked, and he basically pulls the whole team together, pretty much like with Patrick Beverley and what he does for, you know, for the Clippers, for instance.
Yeah, 100%. And going back to what you said about Kawhi, like the interesting thing is even the way he arrived, like the team he joined initially was San Antonio. I mean, that's the team where he kind of came to become like a well-known player. And even that final series when they beat LeBron the last time in Miami, no one really knew who Kawhi was.
Yeah.
But he's almost like the anti-superstar. And exactly. And then going to what you said about like a Pat Bev is that guy as well. Like even like everything he does, like nothing's pretty. Like even his like floaters, you're like, what the hell was that? Like everything he does, you're kind of like, what's he doing? But like he's that guy that just gets under the other team's skin, and he just helps get the guys around him riled up. Because I think what happens is everyone feeds off of that energy, because it's like they're irritant to the other team. But then by coming to his defense, everyone else kind of rallies around him, which is cool.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, I think the interesting for me is, I mean, even if you go back to the conversation we had last week, there was a whole conversation, and I think we missed one key thing, right? When we were talking about what it takes to win a championship, because when it comes down to the NBA playoffs, like teams lock down defense. So even though the NBA is a highly offensive driven league, when it comes down to like the nitty gritty, defense is actually what wins you championships in the end. It's like being able to lock down the other team, getting stops, because that also helps you build momentum to attack on the other end. And I think that's probably like, it makes me think of guys like, you know, Draymond that we spoke about. Rajon Rondo for me was one of those people, you know, like I know in Boston, it was the big three. It was, you know, Paul Pierce, it was Kevin Garnett, it was Ray Allen. But Rajon Rondo was like unknown, right? Because he was just like this upcoming, you know, kid playing with these three big stars. But he contributed a lot to the success of that team. And so did Kendrick Perkins, you know, like Kirk was like a big part, because he was the guy that was doing the dirty work, him and Rajon.
Yeah.
I remember like how the legend of like playoff Rondo was born was like in a series against the Heat. You'd see like Rajon Rondo diving over LeBron James, diving over Dwayne Wade to go reach for a loose ball, and you'd be battling for each and every possession. So I think like that's probably one important aspect that we forgot when we're talking about what it takes to create like a winning culture and a championship winning team.
Yeah, like it almost feels to me like the more we delve into this series, the more we start to understand like championship DNA. And I think going back to what you said is that offense sells tickets, but defense wins chips. Like that's something that they always say. Yeah, definitely Rondo and that Celtics team, Perkins, and also Big Baby Glenn Davis as well. Like he was a role player that also stepped up. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, he came up and did his thing. Looking at that Miami Heat team, which you mentioned briefly, Haslam's a guy that doesn't often get the credit he deserves. I mean, he's been at the Heat since. Yeah, yeah, like you know, someone that's always comes in and just he's those guys that can just put a body on someone, which is always important. So I think definitely those kind of role players, and obviously at OKC, Oscar Robertson.
100%.
He's like, I mean, he's like another one. So there's like a lot of those kind of players.
Yeah. You just confuse Andre and Oscar, but it's fine. It's so easy to confuse those two.
Yeah, Andre, sorry. Hey, that's something.
I mean, and that's the crazy thing about like, you know, that Heat team is like, again, the focus was on Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, but you had guys like Haslam putting their bodies on the line. You had Chris Anderson, Birdman, who would come into games and just clog up.
Yeah, know, Birdman.
The lane, make it hard for teams to attack the lane. Mike Miller, dude, I remember Mike Miller taking so many charges during the drive as well, which is pretty crazy. Even at the Cavs, with LeBron and, you know, Kyrie, you had guys like, who's his homie? Tristan Thompson. How do I get one of the most controversial guys right now? Tristan Thompson was like, you know, out there putting in work. That whole team was actually like just, you know, willing to fight. Richard Jefferson, I think. I mean, I know he made big shots offensively, but he was also like, you know, tuned in defensively as well. So that was like pretty incredible to watch. And I think you're right. You know, I think there's, I mean, Tabas Ofolosha is another player who comes to mind who's always about the defense. And I think that's what's interesting to watch is, you know, there's certain players in the league who always get credit because of their offensive style. And I think, you know, pretty much like what you just said, you know, people come to basketball games, people tune into basketball games to watch people make three-point shots, to watch dunks, to watch those crazy, you know, under the rim, layups. But you have to give props to players like, you know, Avery Bradley at the Lakers, Marcus Smart, who's his homie, Terry Rozier, you know, who's also gone from just being a defensive player. It's also like starting to show like he's a good offensive player as well.
Yeah, even guys, I mean, if you look at it, Boston's got a strong, as far as their tradition, like a player like a Marcus Smart.
Yeah.
Like he's cut from that kind of mold. I think those kind of players are important. I think even at the Brooklyn Nets, DeAndre Jordan is a player that's probably going to have to become that role player. Like when he was at the Clippers, we knew him and Chris Paul for the whole Lob City. But now he has to. But now, like as he gets older in his career, and once that Brooklyn Nets sort of organization comes together and kind of gets back from the injuries, he's gonna probably end up being that guy that does all the dirty work while Kyrie and KD get the shine.
100%. But you need those players to win the chip, dude. Like, those players are like absolutely necessary. I remember even with the Mavs, you know, when, you know, Dirk Nowitzki and to a certain degree, Jason Terry were getting like all the lights and all the praise. People like Tyson Chandler was basically doing what Dennis Rodman was doing. He was scoring like 2 or 4 points a game, but he was grabbing crazy rebounds and like making crazy blocks against the Heat. And that's ultimately what also helped them win the championship over and above, you know, the offensive play that was coming from Dirk. Oh man, I think Super's frozen. No! Oh man. Sugs. Damn, yeah, what happened?
You there? I don't know. It just kicked me out.
Did it just kick you out?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Damn, fuck. As we were flowing. Is it still recording, though?
Yeah, it's still recording.
Okay.
Shit, so what we can do then is I can maybe fade it. I can try fade it and fade it out again.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, and then if that doesn't work, we'll just have to we record tomorrow.
Or we can do we can even just do like a soft cut and then you can kind of just take it from where it fucked out and then we can almost like whatever we were talking about before, we can use that as the
Okay, cool. So I literally just mentioned Jason Terry and Dirk and how like Tyson was like the perfect so you can jump in.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah, no, I think definitely for that Dallas Mavericks team, that was definitely one of the big things for them. I mean, I remember Tyson Chandler kind of everywhere he's gone. I mean, he was even at the Lakers for a while last season. Like, he's good because he helps to organize the defense. And I think something that's also, as we talk about this conversation of unsung heroes, it's how positions have changed. So, like, you get a player like Tyson Chandler in, like, another era, he's almost like a throwback to, like, the old school center. The guy who just kind of anchors the defense for you. Like, that's kind of what you look to your center to do. Whereas nowadays, centers kind of do float around and stuff. Because, like, you can look at, like, a Tyson Chandler and a Joel Embiid are two different types, but they're both equally as important. But like, a Joel will become more acknowledged as opposed to a Tyson, where Tyson kind of helps you bring that. Like, Tyson is a guy that you can build your defense around, whereas Joel might be a guy who you build your franchise around just for marketing and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's actually a very dope way of looking at it. And then another thing we're speaking about, right, which is almost like a theme from the Scottie Pippen episode and the Dennis Rodman one, is guys who almost become forgotten even though they've done, like, some really heroic things. And it made me think, like, everyone knows that the Mavs won the chip, right, when they beat the Heat. But a lot of people don't know who Dirk Nowitzki is, like, unless you're, like, a proper
basketball
fan. And he's actually one of the best players in the last decade. But maybe because of his quiet demeanor and the way he carries himself, he doesn't get as much love and as much props as the other players do.
Yeah, I think it goes back to that conversation that they always have about the market. I mean, Dallas isn't like a big time market. And I think he never had those endorsement deals that some of the other guys had, obviously. I mean, look, Kobe signed to Nike, so Nike knows and always give him a platform. Same with LeBron, same with all the other guys. So sometimes it's just the marketability. So I think for Dirk, it's just like he was so awkward in, like, everything, because he's like a 7-footer who, like, shoots the three, but he's just like I think that was the thing that kind of like not held him back, but I think at the time that wasn't really what the aesthetic was within the NBA. Like, it was very much like kids from the hood who do this, who are gonna go to the Rucker. Like, I think his era was just a bit off. Like, if Dirk was actually playing now, I think with the three ball being the way it is, he might even be like a bigger star.
100%. Yeah, I was as you were talking, I was literally thinking, like, imagine if Dirk was in his prime during this era. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So playing in the right team and in the right franchise as well, he'd be like a big problem. Like, he'd be, you know, hard to handle, and just because of, you know, the way that the league flows as well, he'd be such an offensive tool.
Plus I think he was unlucky because he just was in the league at a time when there was Kobe and LeBron.
100%. Duncan, you know, the Spurs.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there were a lot of other players that just took the attention, yeah.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it makes me wonder as well if, like, someone like Kawhi, because I wonder if, you know what I mean, it just makes you think of, like, if players are more memorable because of kind of, like, how they carry themselves off the court as well. I mean, I'm not saying people have to be, you know, controversial or anything, but, you know, that is how, like, a player carry themselves off the court kind of, like, translates to the legacy after, you know, after the game, you know, because, as you know, Michael Jordan was quite outspoken. He was quite out there. So was Kobe. So was LeBron. So is D Wade. So Carmelo Anthony, you know what I mean? So do you think, like, that also kind of adds to a player's legacy and kind of, like, how people remember him after the game?
Definitely. Like, I think social media makes a huge difference. Like, you got people who've never seen a basketball game, but they'll follow King James on Instagram, for example.
Yeah.
Like, I think that definitely transcends for someone like a LeBron. Like, I think he's someone that's just owned his narrative throughout his career. And even Kobe as well. Like, Kobe, like, these are guys that understood their marketing potential, so they went with it. Whereas I think someone like Kawhi, that goes back to what I said earlier. He's almost like the anti-superstar. Like, he's a guy who doesn't really care for that stuff. But, like, on the court, you can see he's just, I mean, he's already created some memorable moments, especially last year's run with the Raptors. Like, that shot against the Sixers, where it just kind of bounced around the rim. Like, he's a player whose legend is growing for his on the court antics, which I think is cool. So he's almost like a throwback. Whereas I think for some of these newer guys, it's definitely like a social media play, which is helping them.
Yeah. But I mean, look, I mean, also, I think the thing that, you know, and that's the point I was making, right, is do you know how many times I've heard people say, what do you do, baby? And
people don't know
who that thing comes from. I'm like, oh, you look Kawhi Leonard. And like, I remember I said this to one of the ladies at the office, and she was like, what do you do, baby? And I was like, oh, you've seen that Kawhi thing. And she's like, who's Kawhi? I'm like, for her, it was just like a cool meme that she saw on Twitter, and she just kind of googled it. But yeah, man, I think it is like important. I mean, people like Steph Curry. Like, I mean, I think when it comes down to it, Steph Curry is going to go down as one of the best players, you know, ever in the game. But you find that as an overall compete player, Kawhi is probably like, you know, the better overall player. But the impact that Steph has on the court and the way that he just interacts with social media, the stuff that he's done with, you know, with Aisha, with his daughter as well, like, I think that's made him like a bigger star outside of just basketball alone. And like you said with LeBron James, I mean, the Taco Tuesdays thing, the little TikTok videos that he's doing with his family, like, this is adding more. And I think he understands that, you know what I mean? I think LeBron understands that marketing side shows like the sharp, more than an athlete. You know, it's actually crazy, some of the stuff that he's doing.
I think you basically summed it up. Like, that's pretty much what's been helping like a lot of these guys. I mean, you mentioned LeBron, and it's just guys who kind of understand the world of content as well. Like, I think once you start to play in that space, because I see KD starting to play in that space, like a lot of the other guys. So yeah. I think that's definitely plays like quite a big role. And I think talking about Steph as well, the cool thing about Steph is he's like him and LeBron are players that make the guys around them better. And I think that's quite a huge testament to them. Because one thing which you've seen with the Jordan thing is, like, he'll have players around him that are solid, that are good role players, but he forces them to be better, where it's like, it feels like with the LeBron and with the Steph, it's less like aggression. It's more like just like, I'm going to keep feeding you the ball and then you're going to get it. Whereas Jordan and Kobe were basically like, I'm going to take over now. Like, it's in our best interest for me to be the guy, because like, that's how they were kind of built. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. I think also for me, it's one of those things where players are kind of like realizing that, you know, and it's a cool thing, because basically people are creating their own content and telling their own stories, you know? And I think that's the power of, you know, where the world is now from, not just the social media point of view, but the content creation point of view. I remember the other day you and I were even talking about the Kevin Hart thing, where, you know, Kevin Hart's production team created this behind the scenes documentary about his life and how he dealt with the whole drama and the controversy of the Oscars and him cheating on his wife. I think it's the same thing that NBA players are doing. Like KD, I watched his documentary and it was created by his production company. Everything LeBron does, his production company has a hand in it. Like you said, KD's got a podcast, people like JJ Redick, who's really quite dope. So I think it's actually quite cool that, you know, we no longer have to wait for documentaries, you know, like The Last Dance, to tell us things about, you know, players from the past. Players are actually taking their own stories into their own hands and telling them for themselves. Same thing with Giannis, you know, with Giannis kind of releasing the documentary last year, documenting his journey from, you know, being this kid at 15 years old playing basketball for the first time to being an MVP at age 25, which is pretty insane.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much it. I think it's like I think we're also in a place where, I mean, not to make it like a racial thing, but like, for a lot of these guys, their stories usually don't get told. Whereas like in today's society, their stories are more and more like the norm, and they're relatable. Like, yeah. I think that's why like a lot of these guys, they might not know who the player is, but they know his antics because they can relate to his antics. Like that Kawhi thing. That was just like a summertime, like that became like the summertime mood. It was like I'm in a Kawhi mood basically last year. I mean, that was basically what the, I mean, like, he just transcended it. And I think what actually helped Kawhi was Drake. because Drake, because like Kawhi was the guy, and obviously Drake is the man from from Toronto. That just kind of elevated him even further.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, just to wrap things up, I think another thing that's probably contributing as well is the popularity and the access that people have to the NBA is probably also making a difference to the popularity of some of these guys. I mean, I think the fact that everyone knows who Michael Jordan is without social media, without everything, just speaks to the testament of like how amazing of a player he was, and how his legacy just keeps growing and keeps becoming more amazing. But I'm glad like, you know, this Last Dance documentary is covering different perspectives and telling different stories, because I think even today, you know, it's important to highlight the unsung heroes of the games and the guys who do the dirty work that no one actually notices and pays attention to.
Yeah, most def. Like that's what I enjoy, because I've heard in the coming episodes, obviously we touched on Kobe. They're gonna involve Tony Kukoc. Like I like the fact that it's not like obviously Jordan's the star because it's Jordan, but you're still getting to meet the role players. I mean people will see who Steve Kerr actually is, like where this guy comes from, what's his whole background and the role he actually played in like getting the Bulls where they are. So I think the documentary has been very dope for that. And I saw now even on Showmax they've got the Rodman documentary where it's basically just him on his own. So it's like a good opportunity for basketball to kind of start to get itself out there, which I hope is like a good sign for the future, obviously with like the Africa League and those things coming up.
100%. Yeah, well, as always, my man, it's always a good time talking basketball and catching up on what's going on in the game.
Definitely.
I think what's nice is, you know, being able to do this beyond the court thing, it's allowed us to look at basketball from a different perspective. And it's actually quite nice that we've actually had the Last Dance as kind of like a conversation starter in certain aspects of the game.
Yeah. Like I think, I think sport fans like around the world were just hungry for something. And this has got us something for everyone to rally behind. So kudos to ESPN, kudos to Netflix. And yeah, man, bring it on. Like we just want more of this and hopefully we can watch sport again properly.
No way, fam. Yeah, man. Cool. So thank you to everyone who tuned in last week, who's tuning in today, or tuning into this current episode. This is Khalil Litzang signing out. Until next time. Cheers.
Yeah, man. It's your boy Sooks as well. Much love. Just make sure you guys stay up during quarantine times. We'll see you soon.
Peace, y'all. Peace.
Later, man.